the Zionist media-controlled Vice News.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, February something, 16th. Whatever the current Justin Trudeau year Drake joke, I don't know, I suck at this. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and failing at the intro joke. I'm Morbs, and tonight I am drinking Woodford's. We have just opened the show, and we have to immediately conscript someone. I can't move him.
Are we drafting our girls?
We were going to draft our girls for Hillary. But apparently when I reinstalled TeamSpeak, I lost my admin privileges on my own damn server. That's pretty scary, actually.
Madman, put your pants on.
We were talking to Madman.
I was told.
In the middle of the show. We're conscripting Madman.
That was still rude.
They were drafting our daughter.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking an Angry Orchard.
We started late. I've been having TeamSpeak problems.
BSB! I swear, I haven't been kicking you while you weren't looking.
Well, since you're not an admin anymore.
When did that happen?
I don't know, but apparently neither am I. So,
how did I end up admin?
I don't know.
I told you it's the Berenstain fucking Berenstain. Oh god!
Oh fuck! It again.
After the show, we're double checking this. I want to restart TeamSpeak.
Oh yeah, you can do that.
Oh okay, never mind then.
Yeah, that'll still work. Anyways, so we got who? I think. Who'd we intro? We did BSV. Or no, BSV. What are you drinking?
Just some carbonated sugar.
Are you? I would ask what you're drinking, but I'm afraid you'd answer.
It's water with a dietary supplement stuff in it to keep me from dying right now. Is apparently the heat and me don't mix very well when I have a poor diet and large alcohol intake.
Beer's not that bad when you're in the heat. You also just remember salt tablets.
Yeah,
you have electrolytes.
Yeah, there's been a real gap in my healthy eating program for the last 15 years. It sort of got taken over by the alcohol program. And hitting that magic number this year where, you know, you go get a full check, it turns out that when I was getting that check, it just happened I showed up on the right day that I was about to die. Yeah.
Good thing, too, because if you had to go on a waiting list.
Yeah, that was good, eh? Like, fucking, I could have been, you know, you do have severe fucking blah, 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 but it's going to take 8 months. Glad you got here with 8 minutes to spare. You're about to die.
So, all right, that was confusing. Did we intro everybody? I think we did.
I think so.
Yes, we did.
Okay, yep. Good. So, let's do this. I've been planning a website redesign, but didn't get to it this week. Catching up from being away will do that. However, I did, you know, we did deal with a pirate, so, you know, there's that. But anyways, when I was on vacation, I noticed something. When I was a kid, I would be one of the very few people playing around with mobile stuff, you know, little pocket organizers, hacking calculators,
the Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot, yeah. And everywhere I went when I was vacationing last couple of weeks, I mean everywhere, like including Mexico, including things where you'd expect people would be out looking at, you know, the Gulf of Mexico or the ocean or other things that are really cool sights. No, everybody's sitting there staring at fucking Facebook on a cell phone. Yeah. Including my parents, who, when I was visiting with them, the entire time on the fucking phone. Or cranky that they didn't have signal. Because it's just like, And I'm sitting there giving them shit. It's like, you all used to get so mad at me for playing with this stuff all the time. And now you guys are the ones doing it, and I'm the one putting the phone down. What the fuck? Does anybody else notice this? I mean, it's just like, you know, yeah. You used to be the nerd. You were the only one fucking with it. Now everybody's got a cell phone. And now that's like normal.
Depends on what we're doing. Whenever I'm on vacation, my family still pretty much does put the phone down and look at the ocean or whatever we're doing. But when I go actually visit family members, we'll have conversations for a while, maybe do a board game, but my sister is going to be on Facebook eventually. And at that point, I either play with my nieces and nephews or leave.
I mean, are you? You're the most technophobic one I know, so I'm pretty sure you would notice this above anybody.
I wouldn't say I'm technophobic. I just say I'm not dependent. You know
okay.
what I mean?
That's a good way. Yeah.
Like, I'm quite happy to have a crack at anything brand new, especially when it comes to electronics. I love getting in there. I do draw a line. You know, I like to unplug. You know that more. So I yes. like my time down. And I'm really glad I've stuck with the program. I've copped a lot of shit over the years for not having a phone and stuff like that. Everyone you talk to now, they're always like, oh, I'm so sick of the phone ringing, work's constantly calling. Like, yeah.
That was something I really enjoyed about this vacation I took, is I did unplug. I had no signal, so I didn't have a choice. But
my wife says classic. Like, I'll be standing there, and I'll say something to her, and her phone will go tick, 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 like someone sent a text. And we'll be having a conversation, and she'll immediately reach down, pick the phone up. I stop talking and I walk away, and it gives her the shits. You know why? Because I'm not getting. That's rude. As far as I'm concerned, it's extremely fucking rude. You're not a doctor. You're not on call, and no one's gonna die if you don't check that text.
I tell you, I've been
uninstalling. You finish the conversation and then you look at your texts.
Yeah. I've been uninstalling shit off my phone since I got back because I really got to enjoy it not going off every 5 seconds. You know, you kind of get used to it, and then it's like normal, but. You know, when I took that time away from it, like I did, and kind of unplugged and disconnected, it's like, dude, I got back, and I mean, it's just like the amount of shit going off on my phone constantly. It's like, this has got to change. So.
Well, I did a big road trip at Christmas time, and I said to the wife, right, you're going to play a part in this, because you're constantly just sitting by my side, and I do all the work. You're navigating. So she's got all the electronic bits and pieces. And after the first stop, she lost the Wi-Fi dongle, if that's what it's still called, is it? I don't know.
Sure, why not?
Mobile thing, whatever it is. So she no longer had access to maps or anything like that, and completely fucked. No idea what to do.
She doesn't know how to read a paper map.
Nope.
Oh, that's fucking amazing.
She hasn't had to do it for so long, man. Like, eventually, she figured out how to do it again. But, yeah. Without it, because she's like, I had it all planned out. It was all on my iPad and fucking. And she's just like devastated.
And she didn't save it locally. That's one thing I do because cell reception here, at least with my carrier, is spotty. So if I'm going someplace, I'll load the map on my phone while I have signal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I lose signal, it goes from being a turn here, turn wherever, to it's just a map. And I can look at the map, read the map, and I'm like, okay, I'm at whatever exit. Move on.
But so, you do talk about having a device in your hand constantly, Morps, and this would be my last thing on it. Everybody gave me heaps of shit first time I came back from America because I had like 12 photos. And like, why so little amount of photos? Because I was experiencing it. I wasn't looking through a fucking lens. You know, that's all I have to say on it. I think disconnect. You'll love it after a while. It'll feel really fucking weird for a couple of months. Really fucking weird. And you'll think you're missing out, but you're going to feel a lot better.
What do you think, BSV?
Most of us, we've all originally started with it, but I think pretty much all of us, we've kind of gotten to the point of we know we need to disconnect and just leave it alone every once in a while. I'm just wondering how it is going to be like when the general public figure out they to. I don't know.
So we're just ahead.
I don't know if we're ahead, Because Morps, we were growing up when portable just started existing. Sure. And when you were playing with Palm Pilots, most people didn't have them. So you were getting into it early, I think. Our generation still remembers what it was to be told, go outside, play, I don't want to see you until it gets dark.
True.
My nieces and nephews' generation, our children's generation, they've grown up where portable electronics has been available to everyone in our countries for their entire lives. And parents are starting to helicopter. I think they're going to have trouble unplugging. With us, it'll be like, oh, it's 1996 again. What was I doing then? Listening to Nirvana, driving around one-way streets the wrong way and drinking.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Let's do that again.
You're making me feel old, Madman.
It's like the camping trips I've been getting into lately, where it's like you actually go out in the woods, get away from everything, and you go where you don't have any fucking signal, and you do it on purpose. So
I wonder when they're going to make it illegal to disconnect.
Probably about the same. I had an article, but I ended up not covering it because it was kind of shit. Where the police were using pacemaker data to prove that somebody had not dived out of a window and therefore couldn't, it was probably committing arson. And the fact that they had gasoline on their clothes and other things like that was kind of a giveaway. But the more they start relying on your device data to convict you of crimes or prove you innocent, it's like, well, you couldn't have been here, your phone was here. It make it to the point where it's illegal not to have it with you and to be disconnected. Because it's just going to be presumption of guilt.
Yeah.
So, functionally illegal. Maybe not actually illegal. But, anyways, so I have this article from the BBC just to prove it's not just us gassing here. The government of Netherlands is noticing this too. Pavement lights have been installed at a pedestrian crossing in a Netherlands town to help smartphone users cross the road safely. The light strips are designed to catch the eyes of people looking down at their device and change colors to match traffic signals. The lure of games and social media has come at the expense of attention to traffic, said Councillor Kees Oskam. But Dutch road safety group VVN said the idea rewards bad behavior. It's not a good idea to help mobile phone users look at their phones, said Jose de Jong of VVN, the Dutch traffic... Oh, it's Dutch, not Mexican. I don't know how to say... Okay, we're just going to go with that. The Dutch Traffic Safety Association. We don't want people to use their phones when they're dealing with traffic, even when walking around. People must always look around them to check cars that are actually stopping for the red signals. The lights have been installed at a trial basis at one crossing close to three schools in Broodgraven. The company that developed the technology says it hopes to offer the signs to other towns in the future. Similar pavement lights have been tested in the German city of Augsburg to help so-called smartphone zombies navigate level crossings. So, it's to the point where they're installing the lights in the ground because they're just assuming that you're looking down.
Can we let stupid people die? Please, can we just start letting stupid people walk into traffic and die?
Actually, Madman, no. I don't want to fix dents on my car because of stupid people.
You have full coverage. Your insurance will take care of it.
Dude, hitting a pedestrian here in this country, a pedestrian has right of way.
So. I see. If you want the Darwism awards to go out, Madman, you just have the lights point them in the direction of the nearest cliff.
You need to update your jaywalking laws.
What happens when people start fucking with these fucking lights?
Oh god, I want to do that now. They're always fucking green. No, the light for people looking down is green every time it should be red. We'll just flip it. I want to get rid of stupid people.
That's predictable. You'll eventually have people figure out that red means go. No.
Is there a way we can strobe it as to cause seizures?
That's possible. I was actually going to suggest you put it on a different timing clock so that occasionally it's right and occasionally it's not and occasionally it's just changing, like, on its own. That way it's not predictable.
That's great. But,
I don't know, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I make my living based off, you know, everything being always connected and everything. But it, at times, man.
There's always connected. You can get messages wherever. But watch where you're fucking walking on the street.
Well, Evan, when the government, or I don't know if the quote was from the government official, but when they refer to the people as zombies.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Well, you know, it gets me thinking about it. I have actually been in traffic before and started getting texts from my boss and wanting to know. And then I look down at the phone and I see I've got the last three texts from him. I all said, "Hello, are you there? Hello," because he's wanting me to respond. So I call him because I've got the hands free in the car and I can call him easily in the car, but I can't text easily in the car if I'm driving. And then he picks up the phone and he says, "What? Why aren't you texting me back? I'm driving. I can't." And it didn't even occur to him. He goes, "So?" No. So, I mean...
Like, sir, one, it's illegal. Two, it's unsafe. Three, I've got a hands-free set in my car. I can talk to you while safely driving. What do you want?
Yeah, it's in the conversation, what's going on? Well, I need you to do this, this, and this. I'm driving. What do you want me to do? So he had to wait till I could get somewhere where I could stop and deal with it, and we had the joy of trying to do these things from my phone. And it's more and more I'm starting to go, you know, maybe having a smartphone's a... I saw an article that Nokia is getting ready to re-release the 3360 or the indestructible phone.
Oh, like, the maybe brick?
The brick. They're going to re-release it. I'm like, maybe I ought to get one of those. That way I can't be asked to do shit when I'm out and about. Because
that is amazing. And you can beat a man to death with that smartphone, with that phone.
You can tether a train.
The problem I have is that because I have an Android phone with a full freaking Linux command line and remote desktop, I can, in a VPN client, I can basically work from my phone. It's not the most pleasant thing in the world, but it does mean that I basically never get away from it. If something comes up, it doesn't matter when or where, I'm expected to handle it. So, it's one of the reasons I like going where there's no signal.
You could just put your phone in a small Faraday cage, pop it in your pocket, and just go, "No, I mean, I've got no signal."
Can I imagine that? Actually, I've got a Faraday cage bag somewhere. Anyways.
I mean, especially if it's between work hours, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, the problem is that because the structure of IT has basically expected overtime operation security kind of work for free, there's no cost associated with doing it after hours, so there's infinite demand for it. Whereas if I was hourly and got paid overtime, they would, you know, ensure that you almost never had after off hours work. So, downside of being salary, I guess.
There is something known as salary with overtime. You may want to look into it if you shop around for another job.
Yeah. You know, at some point I probably should do that, even though it's not. I'm perfectly happy where I am, but you know, you are supposed to do that once every couple of years, aren't you? Just to see what's out there.
At least keep the experience up of interviewing and
see if anybody's offering to, you know, willing to up your pay by 20-30% or something like that. Because you never know. It especially just, in my fucking field.
Just be careful with that new HR software going around.
Yeah, no shit, right?
You know, I wouldn't be shopping around if multiple services are using that. And it gets back to your HR department, you're suddenly out of a job because you've applied at three other places.
Well, not if they talk to you about it first. So what are you doing? Just practicing. Just seeing what's out there.
Good luck.
Are you unhappy? That. No, I'm just seeing what's out there. Oh, wait, that implies people are sane.
Yeah, you're... Damn it, phone.
Next article. So let's get into the news here. We've been gassing on about assholes on their cell phones for half an hour here. Twitter's new tool. This is from Heat Street. Hit Twitter's new tool to crack down on politically incorrect language. Yeah, this is going to end well. Twitter has launched a new way to punish users for bad behavior, temporarily limiting their account. Some users are receiving notices that their accounts are limited for 12 hours, meaning that only people who follow them can see their tweets or receive notifications. When they are retweeted, people outside of their network cannot see those retweets. So at this point, they're actively blocking people they don't like. And they're doing kind of the shadow ban where you can still post. They're just, you know, most people aren't going to see it. Some speculate these limitations are automatic based on keywords, but there's no hard evidence. This would be fine if it was used uniformly to clamp down on harassment, but appears to be used on people simply for using politically incorrect language. So they've got some screenshots of a Twitter user named Drybones who apparently used the word retarded a couple of times talking about some Nintendo policy, and he got the nasty gram. Let's see, claims his account got limited directly after saying the word retarded twice. The first time he called the Nintendo policy adding extra paid extra content to their new Zelda game retarded. The next time he called someone a retard who called him a retard first. So he was just responding in kind. Another user named Faggot Friday.
Yes.
I like the comment. Kind of surprised he's not banned yet. Got his account limited after using fag in the British sense, meaning cigarette. Another user claims his account was limited after calling Senator John McCain a traitor. So it's probably a handful of people reviewing things that are matching keywords and trying to decide if it's really an issue or not, and their politics are showing. So, Twitter is no longer a platform for free speech. I know that that's what they advertised themselves as a couple of years ago, but no, if you don't toe the line, they're going to limit you or kick you off. I think they kicked off a couple of people now, haven't they? Besides just, yep. I know Milo.
And there is an alternative Twitter that's starting to pick up some, at least with followers of like Milo and Vox Day. I don't know if it'll ever overtake Twitter because that kind of style is somewhat dying. Even without the bans, Twitter's use is falling off, even from people that like Twitter.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of the heyday has happened. People realize there might be better ways of communicating than 148 characters.
Well, I think they're starting to do, a lot of people who go into things like Instagram and then mobile apps. They're not even bothering with Twitter. They're just going to Snapchat or whatever, so.
Yeah. So I think Twitter's just going to eventually die out from just lack of use. I mean, right now the big reason to watch it is just to see what the president's going to say. Because, like him, hate him, he's fucking hilarious.
I wish somebody would show Donald Trump how to use IRC. Or Discord. Either one.
Oh, the wonders. Oh, wait a minute. He might stumble into the wrong IRC chat room and then attempt to ban the internet. Don't show him that.
Like, what happened? Well, I went to this link and RU486 sent me to this video. Yeah. Oh, are you still muted? Damn. Oh, we really need Big in here for that joke. He'd have some links for the president.
Oh.
Well, I mean, yes. Big's got a Twitter. Hey, Mr. President, check this.
Awesome. Here's my dissertation on cock miles.
Trump might read that. You never know.
And that's Big's paper, man. Yeah. Give him credit.
I'm just saying, I can see Trump actually reading that, seeing it and being interested.
Not unless it's on Fox.
That's true. Yeah, I saw a bit of his press conference earlier, just lambasting CNN and talking about how wonderful Fox was. It's kind of like, a little much, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So. Anyways, let's see. Next article.
Oh, I love this next one. I don't think they like using the word nigger.
What?
The next tweet that gets you banned on Twitter in the article.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I stopped reading halfway through, so. Oh, this is mostly just examples.
Is this the article of the word of curse?
Yes, no. And Twitter getting you banned.
Yeah, and Twitter, they've come up with a way of shadow banning people for 12 hours, and it's
yeah,
it's
just... it just reminds me of that South Park episode, the word of curse.
When a they, cursed word? Yeah.
Yeah, how they made fun of it.
Oh, I wonder if there's a way to turn this algorithm, if it is an algorithm, against Twitter the same way the Google algorithm was turned against Google.
I imagine there's probably more like they've got an algorithm that's picking it out, and then they've got humans reading it and just trying to decide whether or not it should. Because it doesn't seem very widespread yet.
Okay. You reckon that's outsourced to India?
Probably. They probably just got a set of guidelines they're reading. And so if you're going to call somebody a flaming homosexual, just make sure you put "do the needful" in the tweet. Because if it's outsourced to India, they're not going to they're going to think that you're being polite. So let's see.
Hey, that would be another job no one thought could exist a decade ago. See, technology is creating more jobs. There's now Twitter filters in India.
You're not helping, madman. You're not helping.
I want that on a business card, Twitter filter. It was cheaper to hire third world labor than it was to automate. That's awesome. It's like you could have just written a Python script. Yeah, the developer wanted money. So, you know.
This guy will do it for rice and not being beaten every day.
All right. Next article is from Motherboard. Where's
the mine? Zionist media-controlled Vice News.
Because, you know, you got to call it out every time you use Vice News. So, apparently Apple is fully planning on lobbying against the right to repair legislation that several states are looking at passing. Apple is planning to fight proposed electronics right to repair legislation being considered by the Nebraska state legislator, according to a source within the legislator who is familiar with the bill's path through the state house. The legislation would require Apple and other electronics manufacturers to sell repair parts to consumers and independent repair shops, and would require manufacturers to make diagnostic and service manuals available to the public. Nebraska is one of 8 states that is considering the right to repair bills. Last month, Nebraska, Minnesota, New York, Massachusetts, Kansas, and Wyoming introduced legislation. Last week, lawmakers in Illinois and Tennessee officially introduced similar bills. According to the source, an Apple representative, staffer, or lobbyist will testify against the bill at a hearing in Lincoln on March 9th. AT&T will also argue against the bill, the sources said. The source told the author that at least one of the company's plans to say that consumers who repair their own phones could cause lithium batteries to catch fire. Motherboard is also protecting the identities of the source because they are not authorized to speak to the press. So far, Nebraska is the only state to schedule a hearing for its legislation. Apple did not respond to a request for comment. Update, a representative for AT&T, said it is familiar with the legislation but has no plans to amend or testify. Or attend or testify. They can't directly amend. They have to pay for it. The spokesperson said that the CTIA, a wireless industry trade group that includes members such as AT&T and Verizon, is working to find a viable solution. So let me stop reading here for a minute because that's the crux of it. Basically, the rest of it is that they're... Yeah, the companies are trying to say it's unsafe for anyone to repair the phones but them, whereas the right to repair advocates are generally small repair shops, like the, you know, the ones you see doing screen swaps in malls, or they, you know, the one-off guys who can do circuit board repair because they happen to have the right tools and, you know how to do that kind of stuff. I like the idea that they have to publish schematics. Maybe not chip designs, but certainly like the circuit pathways and expected voltages and stuff like that, so that you can at least diagnose a damaged mainboard and maybe repair some of the circuitry. I haven't seen the legislation on the whole requiring them to sell repair and replacement parts, because I don't like the idea of requiring somebody to sell anything just because they're selling a product.
I think it would be fine if the legislation prevents them from stopping their suppliers from selling those parts, because don't make those parts. Foxconn has those parts, and whatever subsidiary makes the parts for Foxconn.
Yeah, so, see, I kind of balk at the requiring them to sell something, but I do kind of like the idea of requiring them to put out the circuit design. Well, I just don't know how you decide on the... there needs to be a threshold for it, you know what I mean?
Because in the legislation... It shouldn't require them to sell the parts. It just should prevent them from preventing their suppliers from selling the parts.
Via contract or something, yeah.
Yeah, so if whoever actually makes iPhones. I know Foxconn does some of the assembly, but I don't know who actually makes the parts. But whatever company actually makes the parts, if they want to sell all the parts for this is the iPhone 7, build your own kit, fine. You can't prevent that. You just can't force them to sell it either.
Well, and again, it depends on what they're doing, because you're like, are you talking about like one-off of some of the custom chips that go in some of these devices? Or are we talking about screen assemblies? Because that's probably the number one, screens and batteries are the number one reason people buy new phones, right? You busted the screen or the battery's gone to shit. And in most modern cell phones, neither one of those is a trivial repair. It used to be if the battery went bad, you just bought a new battery and swapped it in because it was in the back. And a screen's a little bit different story. But
batteries aren't too much of an issue. You can go to Batteries Plus and get batteries for most smartphones. Might be different.
Most new smartphones, most modern smartphones, batteries glued in. Same thing with laptops.
Oh, so like the
S7, S7, glued in battery. My iPhone 6 sitting over there on the desk that I don't use anymore, glued in battery. My Asus laptop over there, glued in battery. Nexus 7 tablet, glued in battery.
No, my cell phone, the battery went dead on it, and I know it's, what, six... How old is this thing now? Is it 5 years?
I don't know when you bought your phone. Are you? You know, you've got everybody's house bugged. When did Batman buy that phone?
And it's 7 years old, Batman.
It's not that old. It's an actual smartphone.
Fucked the point up.
I replaced the battery in it because it was swelling. And I'm like, okay, a swelling lithium battery is not good?
No, that's not good. But, like in an iPhone, the battery starts to swell. It destroys the phone because there's nowhere for it to go. It usually just bends the case.
Apple won't be alone on this. I know Rolex and Ferrari, when it comes to their watches, do not allow repairs by aftermarket. So there's a lot of precedent around this Apple to say no. And to deny its suppliers from giving the repairers the parts. They're not the only ones. There's a lot more out there than you'd think.
Well, I could see going to someone they're not approving as voiding your warranty, and I'm cool with that. But I think it should be wrong for them to prevent me from buying parts to replace something I purchased.
Well, see, Rolex do it. The way they got around it was they're like, well, it's $100,000 worth of watch. And there's really only, $5,000 worth of parts in it. We're protecting our brand. Otherwise, people can just go making Rolex watches.
They kind of do that anyways.
I know, man, but I'm saying, I don't expect anything to come out of this. I think Apple will keep their rights and everything like that, and you still won't legally be able to repair anything.
In the States, isn't there already a right to repair law?
No, not really. What it is that if you own the hardware, it's yours, right? You can open it up and you do whatever you want with it. The manufacturer can't prevent you from doing that, and they can't prevent you from selling something that you own. There's laws against preventing the resale of physical goods, but they don't have to service it. So let's say your screen busts and you decide, okay, I'll take it. I'll replace the screen because it's easy enough to get online and get that. Well, okay, after the screen busts because you dropped the phone, the battery starts to swell up. But you didn't touch the battery when you were messing with the screen. It was fine for a month before, after you swapped the screen, right? So it likely wasn't anything you did. It's just you got a defective battery. So you take it into the manufacturer to get a warranty replacement on that because you didn't do that. It just did that. And we'll say, we see the screen's been replaced, so you serviced it, so we're going to void your warranty. So this could potentially not, this could potentially prevent them from voiding the warranty for parts that haven't been serviced. And I go back and forth on that because it makes sense that it's like, well, if I didn't touch that part of the phone and it broke anyways, that the warranty should be good.
Why there's about to be a group of people who get paid way more than we do to have this conversation in a court of law.
Yeah, that's probably how it
works. Because we'll go back and forward. We're not... This is what the court has to decide.
I don't think the court needs to decide it. They could say if you go to a third party to repair your phone instead of someone that we license or us, we void the warranty. Not a problem. If the third party can do all the repairs, then if they're already doing it cheaper than me sending it to you, I went to them for a reason, I'll go to them for my other repairs as well.
Sure. They're not thinking of the consumer, dude. They're thinking of their bottom line. And is there possibly a court case coming from this due to negligence?
Well, the real thing is that the manufacturers, especially things like iPhones, they would much rather you buy a new phone rather than you repair the one you have. So on Apple, they actually price the repair of a screen basically about what a new phone would cost. If you ever tried to fix a laptop with OEM parts, like trying to go order a mainboard for a laptop, the mainboard costs as much as the new laptop. It's silly.
Yeah.
So, and again, I don't like the idea of forcing manufacturers to sell something. I do kind of like the idea of saying, look, if you're going to sell a product and it's of a certain market size, you should at least publish the schematic, the circuit schematic, so that you at least have a shot of figuring out what's wrong with the thing if it's out of warranty. Maybe that's the way to do it. Once they say they're no longer manufacturing it, that, you know, you say you kind of require them to publish the service manuals kind of thing.
And right to repair, it's been incrementally in place in the U.S. Automobiles already have it in place, along with certain appliances of anything over a certain dollar amount in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch anyway.
Anyways, and the motherboard article goes on. They're talking about how John Deere has made it almost impossible to repair tractors and, you know, on and on and on. But I don't know. I mean, on one hand, I get it. You don't want to tell a company what they have to do. That's kind of not cool. But on the other hand, it does kind of suck if you have a high dollar piece of equipment that fails because of a 2-cent resistor, but because they've hidden all the information from you, it's impossible to fix it on your own. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Next up is from businessinsider.com. Let's publish these links real quick. Paste. And I'm just going to put the chat room front and center on the website when I redo it. So let's see. Next up. This is from Business Insider. Internal Ticketmaster emails show that the company hacked into one of its rivals. Ticketing company Ticketmaster is being accused in a lawsuit of using information provided by a former employee of a rival company to hack into that rival's databases. Back in 2015, Songkick, another ticket selling service, brought an antitrust case against Ticketmaster in the U.S., a case that is ongoing. In documents from a California federal court published on Wednesday, Ticketmaster is accused of hiring away an executive from CrowdSurge, a company which merged with Songkick. That executive allegedly kept tens of thousands of internal company documents from his former employer and gained unauthorized access to CrowdSurge's internal systems, the suit claims. We first heard about the case via Variety, and you can read the new court filing in full below. Ticketmaster did not immediately respond to Business Insider's course comment on the allegations. The executive, Stephen Mead, was allegedly asked to use his knowledge of CrowdSurge's internal systems to improperly access those systems for purposes of monitoring CrowdSurge's potential and actual artist clients, staying abreast of what CrowdSurge was doing, and ultimately to cut them off at the knees. The document continues to allege that Mead was willing and eager to share the requested confidential CrowdSurge information with Zidaldi and others at Ticketmaster because Mead's goal, like those of the defendants generally, was to bring down the hammer on CrowdSurge. But what'd you do? Did you, like, not pay him or fire his ass or something? Mead allegedly had kept 85,000 documents after leaving CrowdSurge, including confidential weekly head department records containing valuable non-public strategic and financial information, dozens of usernames and passwords to confidential CrowdSurge tools, client lists, presentations to their board of directors, contracts, and internal corporate business plans and strategies. Why did you let this guy walk out the door with all these usernames and passwords? And if you knew you let him walk out the door with all these usernames and passwords, why didn't you change them?
Because I have to remember the username I've always used, and the password if it's changed to anything more complicated than ABC123, Phyllis can't log into payroll. Not that anyone ever uses a password that simple. Don't brute force banks or other publicly traded companies with it. You won't get in.
Yeah, so apparently after the executive left, he was still logging back into CrowdStrike and CrowdSurge and Songbird systems, or Songkick, and monitoring what they were doing so Ticketmaster could use that information competitively. The reason I'm talking about the story, this is cyberpunk as fuck.
No, this is not cyberpunk as fuck. This is a fucking administrator of a network failing to fucking do his job.
Yes, it is.
All right, Tim walked out of the office 5 o'clock on Friday. Tim no longer has fucking admin access. That's all that is. That's 3 minutes at a fucking console as an admin
of that network. If you're taking 3 minutes to disable a user account, you're doing it wrong. Just
okay, one hand's on my cock and I'm fucking surfing Reddit, all right?
All right, fair enough.
There we go. Got to justify fucking IT somehow.
Well, there's also the paperwork.
Yeah. As long as you don't have a company that does it manually, because then they ask their security guy to do fucking audits every fucking
but
week.
Could you see it? This dude's sitting over there. It's Monday morning. He's like, hey, I wonder if I can still get into the old network where I used to work. Holy fuck, I can. Hey, Bill, come check this shit out. Let the guys upstairs know. We're in.
And that's when you hope the people have, you know, decent morals.
Nope.
Business.
I don't know. I haven't walked around changing the prices in a Walmart recently.
Have you checked to see if your old login when you worked there works?
I was a district supervisor for a remodel crew. They have a generic login for remodel. Now, if stores are smart, they limit what that login can do. But there's a chance it still works. I would need a Telezon or something that spoofs one.
Well, fuck, you could probably just find one laying on a shelf somewhere. And leave them laying around all the damn time.
Depending on what the store lets that generic login do, yeah, you can change prices, whatever.
This is right up there at the time we were in Best Buy. I hand-static my, that was a Dell Axum Pocket PC. Because I had just broken into their Wi-Fi router for Geek Squad, and I just handed it to him because it's like, I don't know what to fucking do. I just broke in. Here you go. I don't know what he did, but they fixed it a couple of weeks later.
Oh, you remember he that changed name, the name for Geek Squad's network to Secure Your Network.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, so it used to say Geek Squad,
what he
whatever.
He used my pocket PC to do it, but I don't remember what he
but
did.
But he just changed the name to Secure Your Network. And they
That's
did.
Fair.
They at least changed the password from what we found it to be or what you found it to be.
So, it's been long enough. I can own up to that, right?
I just mentioned possibly being able to get into my former employer's network. So, yeah. If it matters, I also think I still know the password, the combination to the safe, but it's behind two locked doors that they should never let me behind.
You could tailgate in there.
Yeah, you probably could. Like, hey guys, what's going on? I haven't seen you. Just find somebody who worked there when you worked there. They're still there.
Wow.
Just claim, hey, I know it's been a few years, but I think I forgot my reading glasses back there.
Well, I'm back here. Want me to do any audits for you? No.
Why can't we get Black Hat?
Fucking morals. Anyways, I have said to my own parents repeatedly, why did you have to raise me with morals? You know how much money I could be stealing right now? Next article is from USA Today. Facebook is getting into the job market. After years of speculation that the giant social network would harness its huge audience to take on LinkedIn and online job boards, Facebook has created tools for businesses to post job openings and for job seekers to hunt for new gigs. The new features are aimed at a small and mid-sized business that typically struggle to find the right people to hire, particularly part-time and hourly workers targeting a weak spot for LinkedIn. Facebook's vice president of ads and business platform, Andrew Bosworth, told USA Today. Businesses were already trying to connect prospective employees by placing job openings on Facebook pages. Bosworth said Facebook is just giving them an easier way to do it, you know, one they can charge for. Starting this week, U.S. and Canada businesses will be able to post job listings, track applications, and communicate with job applicants through their Facebook pages. So, you know, referencing our earlier conversation, when does it become illegal or do you become unemployable if you don't have a Facebook profile?
I don't know. I think that's a pretty cool thing for Facebook. I don't have a problem with it. They're increasing their market share and a pretty decent business decision to do with what they already have. I think it's a cool expansion.
So a lot of the people I work with try, you know, they look up your Facebook page where you work, and a lot of people keep track of it. So, you know, if they see in your Facebook timeline such and such just applied for a job, yeah, it might be a problem.
Yeah, you can put filters on your timeline on what people can say.
Oh, can you? I don't use Facebook. It's not much. I'm going to have to set up an account now if I want to apply for jobs in the future, right?
This is saying hourly and part-time. Are you going to go to an hourly position or a part-time position?
I don't know. It depends on whether or not I get tired of fucking 3 a.m. calls saying, yeah, we can't get the email firewall to work, and you're the only one who understands what an S-MIME is. So
there are hourly positions that are like 35 or 40 an hour. Well, and then on those, you get overtime.
As many after-hours calls as I get, it's almost worth going to, you know? It's like, how do you make more money now? Well, you know, I started getting paid for my off-hours work. Anyways, any other opinions on this before we go on?
Facebook is attempting to eat the world.
I have the
Face World.
Face World. Facebook has renamed the planet Earth to Zuckerberg Island, and we've decided to just kill all of the poor people.
The moon is now sponsored by Starbucks.
I want to put a big eclipse. Starbucks sticker on the moon.
The concept of happiness, brought to you by Disney. Let's see. Next article is from Tech Dirt. The Fifth Amendment versus indefinite jailing. Court still no closer to deciding on compelled decryption. So Tech Dirt wrote about the case last April, and it appears very little has changed over the past 10 months. Francis Rawls, a former Philadelphia policeman, is still in jail. And we talked about this article. He is still in jail because he has refused to decrypt his computer for prosecutors. At this point, Rawls has been in jail for 16 months on contempt of court charges. How long Rawls will stay in jail without a criminal conviction? The prosecution says that it's up to him. As for the appeals court, it apparently doesn't feel a pressing need to address the unresolved issue, whether or not the Fifth Amendment protects citizens against being forced to turn over passwords. The federal court system appears to be in no hurry to resolve an unresolved legal issue. Does the Fifth Amendment protect the public from being forced to decrypt their digital belongings? Until this is answered, Rawls is likely to continue to languish behind bars. A federal appeals court held oral arguments against his plight last September. So far, there's been no response from the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals based in Philadelphia. If Rawls' devices had been secured with a fingerprint, there's a good chance he'd have already been forced to unlock his devices. There haven't been a lot of decisions pertaining to the use of fingerprints to decrypt devices, but those we have seen indicate judges don't view the application taking of subjects' fingerprints to be testimonial. Unlocking a device that contains evidence to convict a person apparently doesn't undermine their right not to be forced to testify against themselves. The reasoning in a recent appeals court decision was that a fingerprint is not something that is stored in a subject's mind, therefore it is not testimony. It, for lack of better words, is a bodily fact, like the blood stored in a suspect or a suspect's resemblance to a person described by eyewitnesses. Because he is facing child pornography charges, there hasn't been much public support for his legal battle. The problem with ignoring this one and waiting for a better case to roll around is the weakening of constitutional protections that almost always starts with the worst cases. Once precedent and or legal legislation is in place, the diminished protections affect everyone. So, I'm going to stop reading the article here. Generally, when you're talking about the right not to testify against yourself. Providing a password to a device is generally considered admission of ownership, because they can compel you to give up a key to a safe. In fact, I think they can compel you to give the combination to a safe. Madman, call me if I'm wrong on that one.
I think they give you the option or they cut open the safe.
Yeah.
With this, I think his only real defense, in my opinion, and take it for whatever it's worth, is deny ownership, because if it's his and they have a warrant for its contents, he has to provide it to them.
Yeah, I mean, a password proves ownership. So unless you're, I don't know how this plays, because I don't like the idea of courts being able to compel you to give up passwords.
It's not my laptop, sir.
Yeah.
My main thing is, what if they actually don't remember the exact password?
Well, that's a fair question, too. It's like, what's the password for this laptop? I don't know. That laptop's been in the bottom of my closet for 10 years. I forgot.
Yes, sir.
I quite often forget the password to my laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time a cop asks me for it. It's not my laptop.
Well, and I use it maybe 4 times a year.
Yeah. I have passwords that I don't use that often, but...
Do you end up having to re-image it every time you break the laptop out?
No, I asked my wife.
So what I'm hearing is, we'll need to get a warrant for RU's wife to unlock the laptop.
What's on the laptop? Well, let's see here. We found a copy of Team Fortress 2. We found a copy of, I don't know, what other games? 7 Days to Die. And we found 14 episodes of My Little Pony, and that's it.
Wow, you've really overestimated the power of my laptop.
Oh, nope. We missed something. Hang on. What is this?
Mr. Hands is cached.
No, like, it has... It has all the power to run Civilization 3.
Are you? Where, what were you doing with this laptop? I don't know. I loaned it to Knox.
Oh, dear Jesus, no.
That's when you...
More fire.
It's like, you know what? You just keep that. I don't want it back.
How much thermite does it take to destroy a laptop? Let's find out.
Not as much as you think. So, yeah, this guy has been in jail for 10 months in contempt of court because he's refusing to hand over his passwords. And of course the knee-jerk reaction is, no, a court shouldn't be able to make you give up passwords, but...
What's he accused of?
That shouldn't matter, but it's pedophilia.
Then fuck him.
Well, I mean, he's been in prison, so that's a strong possibility. Oh, you didn't mean literally.
Oh, I bet... I know the statement I just made then was incorrect, that, yeah, he's been accused of pedophilia. He should have to. I mean, anything to clear your name if someone's accused you of that. You think you'd do your best to clear your name if you're innocent.
Well, I mean, and that's the way...
That's the knee-jerk think. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to prove his innocence. We have to prove his guilt. But as far as testimony, a court has said, give us this information that you've already claimed ownership of. And he's refusing to.
Then he should give it up or rot in jail.
Yeah. Forcing evidence isn't forcing testimony. And if he's already said it's his laptop, and they've already got a warrant for the laptop... He has to turn over the contents of the laptop.
I mean, if I was accused of that, I'm like, have at it. Forensically search everything I've got. I've got nothing to hide, man. Here's the passwords to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be doing the same thing, because it's like, yep, we're accusing you of kiddie porn. What? No, here's everything. I do not have kiddie porn. But
you're going to see some really weird, sick shit on there, but none of it's got kids in it.
Have you ever wanted to see 12 people deep fried? It's on there. They're not children.
Look,
as you don't
okay,
count the goat,
I didn't
it doesn't
buy
have kids
that
in it.
I didn't buy that from Amazon. I'm not looking to circumcise children. It was a joke. Because, you know, they're pulling that one up.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then there's the question of, you know, are you worried about shit being planted on your computers? But if they're doing proper forensics evidence, that should be hard to do. Because you're supposed to immediately pull the drives, clone them. The originals go into cold storage, and you work everything from the clones. So if they ever accuse you of tampering, you can go back to the originals. But
well, that's what I'd want. And then I'd want my the right to have my own forensics done on it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
For my defense.
Absolutely. And that should absolutely be a right. Mm-hmm. Just like any other evidence, right?
Yeah. And I mean, if this guy is not turning it over, it's starting to 10 months, 10 fucking months. It's far from standing on your high horse and going, no, just give it up, buddy. Like, take your punishment like a man, even though you're not.
The thing that he hasn't made some kind of a statement saying, I'm doing this because I think being compelled to turn over a password is wrong. You know? And of course, again, the way the right not to testify against yourself works, Madman's absolutely correct. We're supposed to prove him guilty without forcing him to, you know, without compelling him to do it himself. But you're right. It's suspicious. It's like, well, why would you sit 10 months in jail without just saying, you know what, here's the password. You can see the pictures of my, you know, the girlfriend I was cheating with and my taxes. What? You know?
Exactly. I mean, I'd rather be accused of adultery than fucking kiddie porn.
That or he's got something on there worse than kiddie porn. I mean,
there's nothing in this society worse than that. Am I doing this correct, or does anyone want to disagree that a password is the same as a key?
It kind of is, it kind of isn't. It's closer to a combination to a combo safe.
Okay, so if you have a ledger inside a safe that is going to prove corruption, and they've got a pretty good suspicion that that ledger is in there, and you're refusing to open it up, and you've been accused of corruption, well, we're talking about the same thing.
It's contempt of court, and they usually cut open the safe.
Yeah, so yeah, he's in contempt of court, fucking rotten prison. Just give him the password.
The fact is, though, that they can't just cut open the safe because the technology to effectively crack good encryption does not exist.
Oh, no.
I mean, it exists. You can crack encryption. But
it's just how long does it take?
The key word there was effectively crack. The Brazilian government turned over a drive to the FBI, and the FBI tried for like, geez, it was like 4 years, wasn't it? They tried to crack a TrueCrypt drive.
They were grinding on that thing for ages.
Now, admittedly, that was a couple of years ago. So it'd be interesting to see what you could do today if you built, say, an 8-card CUDA core, you know, super rig, because you can build one of those for 5 figures. But, so whereas it might be a little expensive for you or me, for, you know, a law enforcement agency to build a cracking rig, not that big a deal. Well, what, you need eight Founders Editions 1050s, TX-1050s, and a couple of a server class mainboard that can handle that many cards. You can build a CUDA rig, and
you know, really, you're going to go through that much effort just to keep job on?
I don't know, as I don't keep child porn, so I don't know how much effort is actually required.
I mean, the average individual is not going to need that level of encryption.
Oh, no, I was talking about cracking the encryption.
Oh, cracking, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, it's like, if he was using BitLocker to encrypt his drives, at least on modern machines, for anybody who's not aware, Windows 10 copy, you know, Microsoft gets a copy of your BitLocker keys. BitLocker is cryptographically secure, but their key management leaves something to be desired. It's, you know, the cryptography is good. You can get good crypto online for free. It comes in all the major operating systems. No, it's the key management that you get bit on. So, you know, that's when you start measuring adversaries. At work, I tell them to use BitLocker. I really do. Because I do not consider the government an adversary at work. I don't.
No.
Technically, I don't consider it at home, but I, you know, let's give the Tumblrettes something to talk about here. I am a white male who owns guns and goes to church, so I really don't consider the government an adversary.
Well, you don't need your marijuana and waves.
Speaking of not considering the government an adversary, let's do this last story here. This is from Heat Street. Police in Australia, the Australian province of... Say what?
Did you say Heat Street?
Heat Street.
Sounds like a gay magazine.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not disputing that. I found the site today and they had some neat articles, so I'm using them as a source for now. I'm sure if we Googled it, probably some hardcore right-wing or left-wing site, I don't know. Let's see. Police in Australia, the Australian province of New South Wales, as well as the local media, are freaking out over a mod for Grand Theft Auto 5 that they do not fully understand. Essentially, the mod, of which there are many varieties available online, changes the American police officers in the game to New South Wales police officers. The mod changes the cop cars and uniforms to the Australian varieties and allows you to play as a police officer. Pretty simple change that would appear non-controversial to the average gamer. But apparently the New South Wales media is labeling this the Cop Kill mod, framing it as a way to virtually train youths to kill the New South Wales cops. You see, Grand Theft Auto is already a game which lets you kill cops. It's an open-world game that does not restrict the player in any way, allowing you to choose to be a law-abiding citizen or a psychotic criminal. The New South Wales State Police condemned the mod, saying they are actively hunting for the game's designer in order to take action. The 7 News Sydney expose on the matter was even more ridiculous. It labeled the skin change mods underground to add a sense to the danger and criminality. In reality, anyone can download these mods by Googling and downloading them off a website. In the 7 News video, police minister even made some wildly inaccurate assertions about video games and the people who play them. That gives the gamer a false impression of what the role of the police is, New South Wales Minister Troy Grant said. There's a fear that this desensitizes people to the real risk the police face, and I find it offensive. I don't know that I can finish this off.
I'm You're surprised actually, you can just still buy Grand Theft Auto in Australia. Don't y'all censor everything?
And for all the over-dramatization Morps is putting on this, this is nothing compared to the shitstorm on the morning news this morning when I woke up. You would think that somebody had actually spawned in a tank and gone on a rampage down city streets, killing cops.
Grand Theft Auto was already a game that was offensive to police officers. All the mod change was the patterns on the police cars. Literally, it's all it did was it changed it from American cops to the other cops. They localized it. That's all they did. Multiple people have made New South Wales police mods for the game, and it would be near impossible to track them all down, let alone prosecute. For what? Accurately portraying a police uniform? Anyone can make mods, and Grand Theft Auto's publisher Rockstar is unable to restrict what type of mods are created for the game. Creating a mod is like painting a picture or any other act of free expression. The Australian media and the police can get as hysterical as they want, but the mods aren't going anywhere. Because we haven't had a good video game freakout in a few years. I mean, we had to... Come on.
The way they were banging on this morning about it is that, you know, it's just going to encourage gun violence against police. I'm like, no.
Have you played Grand Theft Auto? It does that anyways.
It's just mind-blowing how incorrect the statements that they're making.
I do like the, it's an open world sim where you can choose to be a law-abiding citizen. Like, have you ever looked at the storylines in this game? No, you can't choose that. You choose how much of a criminal you are.
Oh, and I've been playing games for a lot of years, and there was some scenes in Grand Theft Auto 5 where I'm like, holy shit, I don't really want to do this. And I don't consider myself a very moral person when it comes to playing video games, but there was some Trevor missions that I was like... I don't really want to be doing this. You know,
The opening mission to Grand Theft Auto, you're playing a team of bank robbers and you're shooting cops. I mean, it's...
BSP knows the mission I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What did you expect?
May I ask what the mission is? Because I haven't actually played the most recent ones. I stopped at Grand Theft Auto 3.
There's a very interesting character called Trevor. He loves crack cocaine and really likes to torture people. And there's probably a 15-20 minute session where you have to torture the information out of a person by burning them with a blowtorch, smashing their feet with a hammer and things like that. And I didn't find it fun to do, to be honest.
So what you're saying is I need to live stream this game and film my reactions to it.
I'd probably
be laughing like an idiot.
Well, maybe, and I'm just not a big fan of torture. Maybe I'm just not a big fan of inflicting pain on people anymore.
Oh no, it's a tasting game, and you skip that storyline because most of them are side missions that you can skip.
It's a main story.
This is a main story.
You can't skip it.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm in no way am I prudish about it. I think it was a valid part of the story. It is exactly what Trevor would have done. I'm just saying I didn't feel comfortable doing it, but I did it because it's part of the story, and I'm not a fucking pussy. I wanted to see the end of the game.
So,
and that's proof that the game doesn't desensitize you. It makes you uncomfortable, and you can dislike part of a game that you find overall nice. Nice isn't a good word.
I'm not running around smoking crack now, fucking torturing people because of Grand Theft Auto.
But I have to ask, is Trevor a black man?
No.
Okay.
No.
Racist.
Although, crack, I was throwing on, yes.
If that's the case, how many people, because of a certain game we played in the arcade, are running around listening to electronic music that's very repetitive, munching on magic pills and dark rooms, and oh, they see the ghosts too?
You missed the 90s, Morps.
No, I don't know that I missed the 90s.
He wasn't able to get those pills in the 90s.
Dude, you didn't go to many raves, did you? There are a lot of people running around punching mushrooms and eating pills, dancing to repetitive music.
Because, you know, video games have no influence on our behavior whatsoever.
And depending on what pills they're eating, I think they saw ghosts.
No, 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 sorry.
Yeah, we just saw a ghost.
Oh fuck!
Let me hit this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, I've only got one thing for Digital Dojo tonight, and I'm not certain anybody else on the show tonight is going to think anything of this. It's called Termbox.io, and what this guy's done is he's set up a series of code, a program that can spin up containerized Linux environments. I think it's using Hyper or Hyper containers, but you go on the website. It lists Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora, Cent, Arch Linux, or OpenSUSE, and you can launch a container on one of these machines with two clicks. It lives for 3 hours, and then it is deleted. And this is a full-on Linux container on the internet. Now, it's part of a virtual machine, so you don't exactly get a public IP, so you're not hosting a website or anything off of it. But you get root access. You download and run code. You can do curls, dubgits, run scripts. Do apt-get installs of stuff. I was testing some of it earlier. The full-on Linux box on the internet.
It's a 3 hour. This is how this particular Linux works. Have fun. Yes. And then it goes away.
And as somebody who knows how botnets operate and how DDoSes operate, I see all kinds of potential for abuse. But that's neither here nor there.
I hope no one uses it for that, but it's a good puddle jump into Linux without spinning it up on your own box.
If you want to learn some Linux command line, this is absolutely a fantastic place to do it because you can't break anything. And if you do break anything, you just wait 3 hours and it gets deleted.
And yeah, just walk away.
I'd also work to see if this Linux setup that I'm thinking of sticking on my main rig, is it viable without crashing your main rig?
Well, it depends on what you want to do with it. If you just kind of want to get a taste of the command line, maybe pull down some scripts off GitHub, run them, see what they do, or you want to test some things out, fantastic. You got some code you've written and you want to see what it does, hey, great, no problem. If you're wanting to test website code, not so much, because you're not hosting anything. If you want to see like a GUI, not so much, because these things are command line only.
Okay.
But if you're, like I said, if you're just curious about testing some things out, it's fantastic. And he does publish the code, so if you wanted to build your own, you could. But it's cool to play with. And if you need an IP to bounce something off of so that it's coming from public, or you just, you know, want to be anonymous, here you go. Here's your proxy.
Yeah, figuring how to use it legally before we look for the right thing to do.
I couldn't help it. The first thing I saw with this was just the potential for abuse.
So yeah. What I'm hearing is if Russia wants to hack the DNC...
It's a good thing to use, yes.
It's a good thing to use.
You want to set up a server somewhere to upload your files to, but you know, hey, in 3 hours the logs are gone, so
there is a potential for a hell of a lot of abuse here, Morps.
No.
Yes, there is.
People the more only I use this for legitimate reasons.
Oh, the little hamster just got off the couch and onto the wheel and now it's going
Oh, yeah, and at least in the Ubuntu image I was playing with earlier, curl's already installed, Python's already installed, plus you can apt-get install anything you're missing. So, I mean, you know, if you're missing a tool, you just go get it. Unless it's something that takes more than 3 hours to build. In that case, what are you doing? But, yeah. You could also, you know, you could set up like a free GitHub account with all your shell scripts you need in it and just... You know, get clone them in and then run, and then you got a 3 hour box, and then it's gone. And, you know, hey, that's both a good thing and a bad thing. So, anyways, that's all I have for tonight. I'm obviously drunk. Madman, you have anything you want to close out the show with?
No.
Good answer. Are you?
I think, what was that AI thing from Microsoft? Tay? Back, the one that turned racist?
Oh, Free Tay?
Yeah, that, she's actually been relaunched today.
Awesome!
It's on its third, install, from what I understand. It's 3.0 now, and I think it's called Zoe, or Zoe. And the only way to access it is using your Facebook, I think.
They wanted an account associated with it. They were trying to prevent the racism.
Yeah, but let's just say the experiment's not going well again, Microsoft. I love you boys on the internet. Keep going.
BSV, you got anything?
Not really, other than... Let's just hope Zoe doesn't start going for the job interviews.
Smoke weed and...
I don't know. After she's been on the internet for 24 hours, gas the kikes doesn't go over well in a job interview.
Well, yeah, the bot has had a little bit of corruption so far.
I was trying to play the old fuck, but it wouldn't
work.
There it goes.
If it starts spewing out Full Metal Jacket lines, then's when I'll get interesting.
In 48 hours, who knows what it's going to say.
All right, I'm gonna play the Pac-Man sound and stop recording.
Okay.